I think we should just jump right in because we have so much to say.
Sure, let's go.
So for those who are listening, however many or few of you.
Important few.
We had a viewing of The Other Way in person because of the Thanksgiving holiday. And there was a fight between Bubba and I, and it spread out into the family. So we're here to bring that drama to you. And I think we should start with the tell-all, parts one and two, because we disagree severely on things, and it might be fun for people to... Why don't you kick us off with your notes from the tell-all?
So the tell-all, the disagreement was basically about Corona.
Yeah.
And from the beginning, everybody said that Corona has a temper.
And she said that. She kept warning because she kept being like, I'm going to pop off. I'm going to pop off. She said that over and over again.
We never saw anything like that from Corona. If anything, she was just stern at times, but she never popped off. She never got angry. She never lost her temper. And on the other hand, Inky was all, taking it easy, like not really respecting, realizing how serious Corona is taking this matter. And she left everything here to go there and to be in a relationship that she will see a future in.
Mm-hmm.
And Inky was just like, all right, we're just going to be, going out, doing stuff and having fun. And, he wasn't taking it seriously at all. And apparently it didn't work out. And Corona came back and continued her studies here. And then Inky apparently came here, visited her a couple of times. And then one time they were sitting on a bench in a park somewhere and they argued and he walked off. And that was the last time Corona saw her.
Disappeared from her life.
Like he was done. I mean, he left. So they were finished when they were talking about, when they were talking to her in the tell-all.
Mm-hmm.
She just didn't want to look at him at all.
You know,
and just gave him the finger and that was it. Like, I don't want to see you anymore.
Yeah.
And Inky could not really defend himself. I don't know why. He might not had a good reason, so that's the way I thought about the whole thing. And you didn't agree with that.
Yeah, well, my sister was in town and my husband was watching over our shoulder. So we're all watching and I was getting frustrated because obviously I don't condone what Inky did. I think that was trash behavior to just like get up and leave and ghost someone after how serious your relationship was. That's horrible behavior. I'm not excusing that. My issue with Corona is that she completely fails to acknowledge her part in all of this. She made it seem as though she was completely blameless, kind, loving, etc. And he just, out of the blue, got up and walked away. And it's like, that's not really probably how it happened. She didn't say anything. She was very combative. She was cursing at him, calling him trash and this and that. And it caught me off guard because the last that we saw them in the season, they were like fine and lovey-dovey in Iceland. And all of a sudden she's like cursing him and his...
Right. In the tell-all, she was
and
angry,
I was like thinking to myself, like, what did this dude do to her? Because he's also very low-key. I guess what happened was his lack of maybe affection or whatever. But like, honestly, we should have recorded right after because I had so much more to say and I've forgotten it at this point. But like, Corona like freaking out on him and everybody on the stage like losing it on him, to me, was kind of unnecessary. And I am the first one to criticize a man. Like, I will jump at the opportunity. Right. But I just felt like it was too much and there were so many things that were being left out. And Inky wasn't clarifying it, and it was pissing me off because it's like, if she actually was acting delusional or weird or whatever when you arrived, explain that. Like, why are you saying it like, I don't know. If he wanted nothing to do with it, he should have just not shown up at all at the tell-all right, and, like, right. chose to not tape.
Well, I guess
but the, I just hate when helps. People, the paycheck, yeah. I don't know. Maybe he gets paid either way. But, like, I'm just, like, allergic to verbal abuse. Like, I just hate it when, I don't care what your gender is, what your sexual orientation is, like, nonstop yelling, cursing, etc. at someone, right. like. Dude, you need to be able to regulate your emotions. You're an adult. Figure right. it out. Like, you're also on TV. Like, have a conversation. And Corona just has never been able to do that. And I hated the way the entire season she was, like, threatening him. It's like she kept being yeah. like, I'm gentle partnering you. It's like, he's not a child. He might act like a child. But it's like, right. kind of establishing that dynamic is kind of gross to me. It's like, you should treat him like an adult. He should act like an adult. You should act like an adult. It just was like, all in all, like, I completely disagree with everyone just, like, dogpiling on Inky. Like, we don't even know what actually happened. It wasn't really clear.
Yeah, exactly, because he left the stage. I mean, he left the set, and everybody was...
So many people have left the set.
Everybody, you know, on all the other couples were supportive of Corona, and I think what really happened between the two of them is that Corona left everything here. You know, she left her school, she left her family to go to Iceland with a purpose, and she really thought that this was going to be it, and they're going to be together, and it was worth it for her to stop, you know, studying for her career and put everything on hold. And when she got there, she faced somebody who is not ready for a commitment. He was not ready for a commitment. He just wanted to be together for years and years and years without getting married. So that's why she made the decision
right.
after, I don't know how many weeks.
That, I don't blame her for that. It.
I'm going back, and I'm going to, because she is a serious person, you know, and Inky is the total opposite, you know.
Yeah, so she's with the wrong guy.
Exactly. Like, so that's why she blank. Decided. Yeah. So that's why she decided to come back. And when she came back and Inky came to visit, it was a different Corona. Why? Because when she was there, she was 100% focused on Inky and their relationship. But when you start a school and it's like, you know, top program and they want your full attention, you cannot. It's hard to split your mind into two sides, you know, take care of him and also study hard for your career. So he didn't see the same Corona, obviously.
Right. And but I think
he wasn't serious to begin with.
So and he was just like, I'm going to cut my losses. Yeah, I'm done.
That's it.
My issue though, that's fine. But my issue is that I'm sure that Corona was stressed out, but what everyone is neglecting to acknowledge is that she was probably verbally abusing the shit out of him. And that's also part of emotional abuse. Like, no one is acknowledging that. Like, you think that she wasn't cursing and...
You're just guessing. We don't know.
Yeah, but we're also guessing about everything else, too.
We only, you know, judge these people based on what we see on screen. All the behind the scenes, we have no idea unless somebody brings it up.
I don't know. I'm almost certain, based off of how she was acting at the tell-all, which was major verbal abuse, that was also happening behind closed doors. Like, if that's what you're going to do with cameras on and the entire nation watching, 100% she's doing the same thing behind closed doors. I don't doubt that. And that's what was bothering me, because no one is like... That's messed up behavior too, Corona. You're not justified in doing this just because his behavior was poor. Like, it's not a tit for tat thing for me.
Yeah, it was two things. One, that she thought that she's putting a lot of thought and energy into this relationship and she got nothing in return. And second, she couldn't give him that much attention when he came to visit here. Because she already had decided that this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to study. So now you're here. What do you want to tell me? I mean, right now I cannot stop my studies and be with you. So, I mean, that part of that chapter was closed. Inky should have done more while she was there in Iceland to, you know,
show if her, that's what know, he wanted.
His love and, yeah. and all his love and attention and her, you know, his commitment. But he wasn't committed, you know, he didn't want the commitment. So, and she did, and that's why it didn't work out. That's all.
Yeah. The other couple that we had a whole family debate on was Joanne and Sean.
Right.
Was that was that it, or was there someone else on top of that? No. Did we fight about everybody or what?
I always saw these two, Sean and Joanne, as among all the couples in the show that I've ever seen on 90 Day, they seem to be normal, regular people. Like, if you sit down and talk to them, you know, they respond to you in a mature reasonable way, manner. In an adult conversation, and they can explain themselves, and, you know, and that's what I like about them. And when they found, when Joanne found out that her kids didn't want her to be there, she decided to come here. And as you recall, I said that at some point, Sean is going to decide to come here and bring his daughter with him. And we found out at the tell that Sean got a green card now. So he can come and go as he pleases.
And what else did we find out at the tell-all that I was mad about?
Between the two of them?
Yes. That Sean was lying to his daughter again. And that his daughter does not know that he's in the...
What was he lying to her about?
His daughter does not know that he's in the United States. And he's in the U.S. So, yeah, he's in the U.S. indefinitely. Right, Excuse me? What the hell did you tell your daughter? Who's taking care of your daughter? Yeah.
So now,
the hell? These people, like, come on.
So this is like, that's what makes the show interesting, because not everybody's perfect and they're going to make mistakes. And we're going to see those mistakes and we're going to talk about them. We're going to judge them about it. But the fact remains that all these couples, they're weird and something's off. And these two are close to as normal as you can get. But they definitely do make mistakes. And they, you know, even in the second part of the tell-all, Joanne said that we still don't regret not telling everybody about it. And she says, I'm going to say this till I am blue in the face, that we decided to do this, you know, wedding because the two of us, we decided to do that without telling anybody, which doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, I get the mom thing, the mom's overbearing. And when you and I were sitting and watching part two, I leaned over and I said, I get why she wouldn't have told her kids, because they probably would have told the grandma.
Right.
And she wouldn't have heard the end of it. I get that. But come on. Like, at some point, you have to prioritize the kids, because that was, in the end, what she was doing is prioritizing herself, because she was like, I don't want to hear it from my mom. You know, but what about your kids who don't know that you're married to this guy and, you know, you're leading them on into thinking that you want their opinion and you care about that and you never make a big decision without them? I understand
why they wanted to do that. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, you hurt the ones you love the most.
Yeah.
And their kids got upset and now there are problems.
But,
you know, so that's why there's a show.
Yeah. I don't have anything to say about Sarper and Shekinah other than Sarper 100%. His comebacks were amazing. His commentary was incredible. I wrote down my favorite ones.
I don't know if I guess he's going back to Turkey now. He's just here for a visit. And
I think they should bounce between the U.S. and Turkey. I think that's a good plan.
I mean, that's fine as long as the kids are okay with that. You know, her kid and her daughter.
I think when her daughter is in boarding school, they should be in Turkey. And then when she's off, they should come to the U.S. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, that works out.
All of his commentary was amazing.
I
was
like, you're acting so bitch.
What did he say that about?
When Shekinah got upset and she walked out, and
did he say you're acting like a
bitch? He went in the back to get her. Why are you? He said, "Why are you acting so bitch?"
He's an honest man, you know, and I think he's grown. What
he says to, I took her out of the garbage. They were talking about the nose job.
And her face was like, what the hell? I
took Shekinah out of the garbage. Turn her to what she is now.
I think that they're okay. I think they ham up the whole, like, his past, because that's kind of their storyline is like, we're just going to ham that up. But I think Shekinah is okay with it. She understands there's a lot of women.
Why and they come and has, go. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's fine. I think it upsets her, obviously, but I think that's like their main thing, because otherwise they're doing well, that they have to kind of keep dredging that up.
Yeah, I wonder if her family gonna be a little different now.
I wonder, yeah. Gonna,
probably, I mean, little by little.
I hope they keep following them. Yeah, and the comment about the therapist, he's like, you told me to find a therapist.
I found a therapist for you.
It's like not someone that you
the woman I slept with.
Yeah. Yeah, I
and
think
then, yeah, the Josh and Lily.
This guy's
so weird. I just can't get my head around. I don't know. He's got Gina problems. You know.
Yeah, it's either you're attracted to your wife or you're not, and if you're not, like, either figure it out or move on. You know, like, it's not fair, like, to her.
How long have they been together? And Vivian said that you only slept together for like 4 or 5 times. That's it.
Yeah.
And
I don't know
what his issues are.
I don't either. Just like in general, I don't understand. It's not.
And Lily was more interested in Jared than.
Yeah. She's like, hey, Jared.
You look so handsome.
I don't really get Josh, because he's not really, he doesn't really explain anything either. Like,
the best part of the tell-all was the sticks of butter. He's like,
of course, yeah.
I was trying to figure out what is it that they're eating? What is that?
I thought it was like
and
cheese.
And just like
at some
a
point.
Regular stick of butter. They open it up, like, you know, it's a sandwich, and they start biting on it and eating it. It's like, oh, we're on this no carb, no sugar, no salt diet.
Or like, and what about
we're gonna
fat,
clog
guys?
Up our arteries for sure.
Sarper, I need to know, why are we not, or Shekinah, why are we not getting like the nice butter? It just looked like Land O'Lakes. Like, at least if that's going to be all you're eating, like, get some French butter.
And James said, what does that taste like? And he says, here, you can try one.
It's
and
like, it tastes like
they
butter.
They take a
what
stick of butter
mean?
From the bag. Here's one for you. And Corona wanted to try it.
Yeah.
And then, and James said, oh, try the same stick of butter. I'll, you know, take a bite from the other end. And he said, no, we have another stick of butter. And take another stick of butter.
I want to know, one, why they're not getting the specialty butter, and two, how are they keeping it, like, perfectly the right temperature?
I know. It was apparently cold, because James said it tastes like butter ice cream. So it must have been cold. But
yeah,
it's one of those diets they give up, you know, in about, you know, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And they go back to their normal eating habits.
It's a nice shock value.
James and Toto, we had, what's her name? Angel? Is that her?
Oh my God.
Her sister's name?
I can't stand
her.
She
wanted to, you know, come and visit.
She's still being so disrespectful and horrible. The thing is, so everybody agreed, they're like, set the terms of the visa for like the day after she arrives. So that way, whatever. But I'm like, if they're struggling for money, and everybody on the show has said how costly the visa process is,
right?
Why are they doing it again? Like,
because Tata wants it.
Okay, is Tata gonna pay for it?
I know.
You know,
she lasted
it's like
6 months without Angel, and then James said at the end that they're gonna, you know, try to make some money for the next 6 months, because they're planning to go back to Indonesia.
Why are they doing that? Just let her go back and visit her family. You stay. I have a feeling
James doesn't want to go back, and he just, you know, keeps delaying it and hoping that Tata will get used to the weather. Where's the Maine?
Maine. What job does he even have where he can get up and leave 6 months?
I don't know. And what happened with that car that they were talking about? That $800 a month car that broke down and they couldn't get rid of it.
Did they sell
that car?
The freaking Sean Robinson doesn't ask any of these questions. It's so annoying. It's like you have everybody here, and then whenever it gets like kind of tense, she moves on. It's like, come on. Sean, no,
they have to get to everybody. All these dramas going on at the same time.
I know, but you know, you've seen they've had like 4-part tell-alls before. Like
they had the 4-part, didn't they?
I know. I'm saying they've had it before, so like it's not impossible. And then they don't even ask questions that are important. But and they also started the episode by saying, "Oh, Statler and Dempsey aren't here because they broke up."
Oh,
what?
Yeah, I was so sad.
Give us
about
something.
That.
Give us some information. Them. Like, why would we not even get like a self-recorded video from one of them? Like,
I know.
What the hell happened?
And the whole tell-all, the 1 and 2, it was not like your normal yelling and screaming, arguing kind of tell. Everybody pretty much were respectful, you know, toward others, but you know, it just seemed like a friendly tell all. It wasn't like crazy insanity kind of tell all.
Yeah, because Angela wasn't there.
Walk off the set and then come back, walk off the set again. My God. No.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay. Right off the bat, Renee and Chidi are done. We're not gonna see them. They're over.
I have to just say something. Remember last episode or the episode before that our podcast episode, I said her best bet is to just get abducted by an alien and just call it a day.
Right.
She said, quote, she said, I'd rather be with an alien or a high-tech monkey.
Exactly.
What? Yeah. So she's just so many things are wrong with her. Anyway,
yeah, I'm just glad.
I just wanted to say that she admitted that she is down for aliens, and I said that previously.
And they, the past two episodes, they really didn't show Vea and Sunny. They just showed the episode before this last one that they go meet Rory at discussing, and then they get into an argument, and Sunny walks out. It's either him or me, and Vea runs after him and she starts crying. And then, you know, she says, hey, God, yeah, I love you. I'll choose you. And they just walk off and they just leave. They don't nobody
Rory's goes like
to say, hey, Rory, I'll see you later, maybe, or we'll talk or something.
I bet it's she like, texts him or something.
They just left. And Rory's like, what's going on? Am I staying in South Africa? Am I leaving? What am I doing here? So that was that.
Yeah.
And then within this previous episode, we saw Brian and Ingrid. They were talking. They had dinner with Brian's friend, another Brian.
What the
Brian
f-
one, Brian?
Brian
two.
Brian, what the f*** are you doing,
and
man?
And I'm so disappointed at so many people on this show. Brian is the number one person I'm disappointed
Not Adnan with. Anymore?
I got number one, Brian, number two, Bojo, number three, Adnan, number four, Joe, and number five, Lauren. All men.
Joe? Oh, Joe is from Jersey, lives in Florida.
Yeah, Jojo. Joe from Jersey, by the way, of
Magna,
Palm Beach, Florida.
Adnan's still at the top for me, sorry. Adnan will never not be number one in terms of how much
I
hate.
Look, Adnan is just stupid and, you know, he just says it.
I just want to smack him so badly.
It's Brian is deceiving. I mean, he's conniving. Like hiding. He says like,
he knows what he's
married
doing.
Four times and
engaged
three or four times.
Or what did he say?
I mean, Ingrid doesn't know any of this. She only knows the one and two, the first wife that he has
a daughter with,
the second one. That got
with
him
the shooting.
To shoot, you know.
Yeah.
And that's all she knows. She doesn't know the other two. And the fourth wife that he is in the process of getting a divorce from her, actually lives in Recife in Brazil, yeah. The town they're in right
that
now.
That they're currently vacationing in.
Yeah.
Like, maybe she doesn't want to go there. Maybe she wouldn't want to go there had she known that you were getting a divorce with some woman from there. Like, I wouldn't. If I was dating someone and I knew that they were getting a divorce from some random woman in that town and he recommended to go to that town, I'd be like, no.
Yeah, exactly. And you didn't tell her your age to begin with. You lied on your page or profile that you were younger. And now you're pretending, oh, you can't do the math. Can't you just add up? And, you know, how could I have a daughter? It's like, what is wrong with you, man? You know, just tell the truth.
He's insulting her intelligence. He's manipulating her. And he's gaslighting her. Because the first time she said that about the age, he was like, no, no, no. Right. Oh, and he kept saying, oh, she's judging me. She's just judging me about my past.
Like, you know,
it's like, I'm sorry, but she has every right to judge you now that she's found out that you have 4 marriages
right.
and 3 additional fiancés. What the hell?
Yeah, I really think these two are done. I think that's why you saw that the reason is that Ingrid wanted her own hotel room separate from him. So it kind of tells you that this relationship is not happening and it's just going the opposite direction.
And well, the more he does this, it's his fault.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I feel bad for Ingrid that because she was serious and she wanted a better life, basically. And this guy turned out to be a liar and an asshole. That's all.
Yeah.
And Bojo's like, hey, I'm not going to introduce you. He was telling Vanya, like, if that's your attitude, I'm not going to introduce you to my, because they went out to dinner with Bojo's friends and they were so nice. They were all like in the team.
Oh, I loved those friends.
His
my
teammates
God.
And they were so mature and like
emotionally
they were
intelligent.
Yeah, they were kind of attacking Bojo. It's like, what's wrong with you? She's beautiful and, you know, just you don't have to. And because Vanya got upset and she walked out and he was explaining to his friends, like, don't explain to us. Go find her and apologize to her and explain everything to her. You know, you're being so disrespectful.
Yeah. They were like reminding me of how Jared was calling out Josh.
Right.
Like, I so respect people who are like, if you're fucking up, like, I'm gonna tell you
right
firmly but lovingly that you're not doing great by this person and you need to get your act together. And I really liked those friends because of that.
Right. So, and then meet the next day and Bojo's is like, I want to be friends. It's like, Vanya is, I don't need that shit. I don't need friends. I came here to have a relationship with you and I don't want, you know, goodbye. And she walked away and then she talked
to her
cousin.
You didn't mention the worst thing was he's like, I didn't say that. And she showed him the text message in the commentary and he's laughing and he's like, that's so me. And she's like, what?
Yeah, because, you know, she said that, why are you so different? Because you told me that you love me. And Bojo says, no, I never told you I love you. And she said, yeah, here's my phone. Here's our text messages. You definitely said that. And then, so why are you misleading her? You know, and you're leading
and then
her
laughing
on.
About it. My God, that is
evil. He thinks everything is like, he thinks he's a great joker and everybody laughs at his jokes and he's not funny.
Yeah.
And then this episode, she decided to spend the rest of her time in Split, Croatia, mm-hmm. just to hang out, you know, go places, go see the park, the touristy area. And then one night she's eating out and she was having a hot chocolate or something. And this guy walks by and says, oh, you look lonely. Can I sit here? And she says, yeah, go ahead. And then she says, yeah, what happened? And, you know, it's, you know, she kind of tells him, you know, her story. And then, mind you, that this guy was definitely production assisted third person coming into the scene because he was mic'd up. Okay.
They must have talked to this guy. That's always the case.
Listen, can you go and tell this to her? Because we're going to mic you up and the cameras. Because when Vanya was coming, when she sat at her table, you could see from the next table, this guy was sitting at the next table with his friends.
Right.
The production must have said, like, pull this guy over. Can you go say this to her?
They're like, can you tell her that you're in an open relationship?
Yeah, we'll mic you up and let's see her reaction, you know?
Yeah.
Because she was, you know, she was happy that, oh, somebody's, you know, wants to talk to me. You know, maybe something will happen. And as soon as, you know, he says, I'm in a relationship, but we want to open it up. It's like a fucking store. We want to open up the store. Everybody can.
Step everybody's right welcome. Up.
Come right in.
So then what happened? Because I didn't finish the episode. So then what did she say? She's like, no.
So then she says, no, I'm not interested. And, you know, I want to have, you know, I'm not into sharing. That's what she said. And she wanted to, you know, just have one on one. And next time they show that she actually goes out on a date with somebody.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah.
Good.
So okay. Yeah, she's making the best of it. And Bojo was number two on my list. Number three is Adnan. This guy is all about like, you're mine, you're my property, and you listen to what I have to say.
Kiss off ads.
And he's there. Did you see them with the scuba diving outfit?
Yeah. And everybody's wearing like bikinis and stuff.
What are they wearing?
It's funny because my husband was saying if this dude was like, it's what we say every week, which is like, if he was Muslim, like if he was actually pious, like this would not fly. And he was like, if he was Muslim, like religious, he would never get into a pool with other women.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they're in the pool with other women and they're also, she's clinging to him in a very like sexual way.
Right. Because like, everybody else is like around them is like in a bikini or normal.
Yeah. And
they're staring at these two like, what is wrong with you people? Why are you... You know,
and this you got is a skin Turkey, problem so, or know. Something.
And if you're really religious, there is swimming pool for women and there's swimming pool for men. You go separate
Tiger
ways.
Lily to really,
you know, you
really...
don't go together because you're going to see, even if your wife is covered up, you're still exposed to other men and women who are in their normal bathing suits.
Right.
So a difference doesn't make.
Yeah.
You just don't want anybody to see Tiger Lily. Like she's all mine.
Put her in a box.
Nobody look at her and she's a doll and you know.
Yeah. It's gross.
You know, close your eyes and that type of a thing. It has nothing to do with religion because it just never happens like that.
No, it doesn't.
You know, you don't go swimming in a mixed swimming pool. It doesn't never happens.
And I found out that Sarper is Muslim. So that is a good example of like other Muslims on the show.
Like every country is different. Even if you're Muslim, you could be like most Islamic countries. You have the freedom to wear or not to wear hijab. There are some countries that like, for example, like in Turkey or in Indonesia or in Lebanon or all these countries, you have the choice to wear or not to wear. In some other countries, the most extreme is Afghanistan, which is like you cannot show anything at all. You do not talk. You do not sing. You don't educate yourself is like the total extreme of whatever they've made up of their fanaticism. And then there's countries like Iran that is mandatory that you wear the hijab. Yeah. If not, you're arrested and all kinds of things could happen to you. So yeah, there's variety of different things. Like it should be up to the person. I mean, basically what hijab means is that internally you have to have the hijab, meaning that you have to
be a modest person,
vain. You know, you don't have to show yourself. you know, you want people to respect you for what you think, what you believe, what, you know, your opinions, not the way you look and, you know, how pretty your eyes are and how you're, you know.
Right.
Nice legs and this and that.
Which Adnan practice, you know, practices none of that. Adnan.
So it's all, they've brought it down to the lowest denominator, which is like you have to cover your entire body or you have to cover your hair. But, you know, you, even in some of these countries, you see the hijab on the head, but you still have flip-flops. I can still see your feet. So it just like your legs or your feet or your hands, your arms are not covered. It's like, how far do you want to go with this thing? Do you want to go to the extreme where you cover from head to toe? Or you want to have the freedom of not wearing it or wearing it? People are allowed to have belief in certain things of a religion, but not go with the cultural nonsense. So I could be a Muslim and I can abide by all its rules, but hijab is not necessarily one of them. Like the exterior hijab, wearing a headscarf, it should not be mandatory. It should be up to you. If you want to cover yourself, you'll cover yourself. If you don't, you don't.
Well, Adnan doesn't want to provide an option to his wife.
Right.
That's his problem. So, yeah. Who's next?
So, the next on... The most of it was about Nazim Matilda. Oh my God. Jesus.
Him being like,
first of all,
sorry about.
It's like you got fired from your, he got fired from his job. He says, like, did you see that part?
No. What was the thing that he didn't want to tell her? So what happened?
All right. So Mr. Ark was having the time of his life being the mom, being the dad. And
yeah, they negotiated like $400 something. I saw that.
Some schnapps and some drinks. They actually now decided, yeah, he's gonna get married. Just remember I told you that he should get married as well. Because it doesn't make sense for him to do the knock door and then come back after a year and then go back again. He should just get married and done with it. Yeah, because what's the purpose of him coming back, staying here for a year?
And now
I find out that, you know, so they settled on the amount of $400. He kept asking, he kept saying, so what does that amount to? What's the dollar amount? Is that around like $390 that, you know? So he says, well, Mr. Ark then pulls him over and says, so we're going to need the money right now. And he says, oh, I'm going to go to the ATM and take some money out. So him and Matilda walk over to some ATM somewhere.
Okay.
In the middle of nowhere, there's an ATM for some reason. So he comes back. Matilda waits for him, and he goes to the ATM, and he comes back. He says, well, I have to tell you, I only have $109 in my account. And Matilda says, well, what are you talking about? He says, well, I didn't tell you that before I left to come here, I was fired from my job. So I don't have that kind of money anymore. Like... So all of a sudden, like Matilda is like, I like Matilda. Is like, as soon as you tell her something, she's a problem solver. Like right away, like before the, you know, when the wedding party, the wedding ceremony was reduced to a certain number of people, she's just like, okay, I have to do this. I have to do my hair. She was like constantly planning stuff.
Right.
And then when he told her that, and she was just still thinking like, okay, let's think about some solution to this problem because... You know, we cannot. So Niall's solution is like, he's going to talk to Mr. Ark and see if Mr. Ark can lend him the rest of the money.
Oh, God.
So they can get married. So
I don't think Mr.
Ark is
going to
be happy about that.
Yeah.
Mr. Ark kind of expecting some money for himself, I think, you know.
For negotiating?
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah.
So they lift that off for the next episode, but
okay, we just have Lauren and Faith left, right?
Yeah, the illness of the horse is finished. He went to the doctor, they tested him, and they gave him a letter. I don't know if that letter was in English or, you know.
Because Faith had to read it for him.
Letter to Faith. It says, what does it say? And Faith says, you know, yeah, everything checks out. You're fine. So, you know, they decide to go out and, you know, have drinks with, you know, Faith's friends that night. So they go out and they start talking to him. And it's like a club. So they have, you know, people dancing.
They had a drag show and all that.
So even Faith, they cheer Faith on. Let's see you dance. And she goes up there and, you know, dance. She does a good job. And, you know.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell? Is Faith a dancer secretly?
Exactly. And then she comes back and, you know, they kiss each other and they, you know, start talking. And her friends start talking, you know, questioning Lauren. Is like, so, you know, how many people did you, you know, had sexual relationship before while you knew Faith?
Yeah. He's like, hold on 1 second, let me count.
Yeah, and he's counting and he still had the smirk on his face. And
I'm not defending it, but that's a nervous thing for sure. Like, he's a nervous awkward person.
I think his face is kind of like that. He's like frozen in that smirky kind of situation. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with him. And he's counting and he's, you know, smirking. It's like 1, 2, about 5 maybe. Like, and he's smiling. Oh, and her friend's like, what is going on here? I could see Faith's point of view. Like, listen, I introduced him to my family. They like him. My older sister says it's, you know, you really don't have too many options. I mean, this is, you know, he's come all the way here and he loves you and he wants to be with you. I mean, we don't have anything to offer you. You know, you send us money, actually. And your situation is you haven't been with anybody in your entire life. And now that you have this opportunity, take him despite of all of his flaws. So I understand where she's coming from and she wants to be with him. And so she kind of pushes that aside, you know, and then she says, oh, I don't want to, you know, discuss that anymore. And they say goodbye and they walk out. And then when they're outside waiting for the lift, for the cab, apparently her friends see him flirting with one of the dancers.
Yeah.
And they pull Faith aside and tell her that, listen, we just saw him doing this. So she gets upset and they tell her, do not be with this guy. He's going to cheat on you and all that. So she gets angry. They get in a cab. They're going back to the hotel and she brings it up and he admits it. He's like, I thought he was nice to, you know, be flirtatious with these with them.
So flirtatious,
yeah, because kind of supporting them and, you know, praise them for, you know, their dancing, really, or whatever they do. Yeah. And
okay,
and she just doesn't want any of it. So the next day they were still talking about it. He, for some reason, I thought he just bought a one-way ticket. But he's talking about he's going back in a few days.
I thought so too. I was like, confused by that.
I mean,
where are you going back to? I thought he sold everything he owned.
I know. He's going to come back and cook shrimp in a bathroom, somebody's bathroom or something. When he was cooking and eating the shrimps with the shells on. I mean, how are these people going to eat? How are they going to get to the airport? How are they going to,
I don't know.
I don't get it. I mean, you decide to go to another country, getting married, you know, another continent, and yet you don't have any money? I mean,
I know.
It just doesn't
I would have been like, I'm going to put the marriage on hold till I get my finances in order.
Yeah, I mean,
anything.
I mean, in a way, it's liberating that, you know. I don't have any money, but I'm going to go to another continent, get married, and, you know, and just either stay there or come back and whatever. I think what Niles thought that he might have applied for unemployment. He probably thought by that time he would get some checks from the government in his account, and there was nothing there, you know? And maybe that's why he was thinking of coming back, you know, finding a job and make some money and then go back again. But even going back and forth is going to cost money.
So anyway. Expensive. Like, yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know.
Do you want to wrap up with Joe and Magna? Magna?
I don't know why this guy cannot say.
They admitted it. The producers were like, the producers. Magma. With liquid hot magma. You should play the clip of the producers being like, why are you keep calling her Magna?
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
and he's like, I don't know why. No. Oh my God, bro. Get your life Magna. Together.
So annoying. This guy's so dense. Jesus.
I don't really have anything to say about them. It's just like...
No, they went to the salt mine. It was like, they asked him, the producers asked Joe, is like, What do you think about salt mines? And he says, well, I guess they take the salt and put it in the food.
I can't tell sometimes if he's like pretending to be stupid or if like that's his.
No, he is stupid. That's just the way he is, you know, just not educated at all. He just likes to sleep around. That's all.
And, yeah, I'm still really do that with, just grossed out Magma. By their. I'm grossed out by the age gap. I understand he's equally as immature, so it's kind of like level. I think I'm more just grossed out by like Magda looks so young, like she looks so youthful, and it just grosses me out when men are attracted to. I understand. Yeah, he's 34. She looks young. And it grosses me out when men or women or any gender is attracted to someone who looks like
like a child. He still cannot be honest with her because she asks him your past relationships.
And yeah, he doesn't mention that woman at the pool. Yeah.
He doesn't mention Jill at all.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I was with Jill like 7 years ago. Does that count? Like, should I have told him? I told her, and you know, right then and there.
Do you think this is going to come back
to haunt him? I think at some point.
She was 16 7 years ago. Come on.
Well, he didn't tell her. Then tell her, like, 7 years ago, I was with someone. I had a girlfriend, Jill, that I'm still friends with.
Yeah.
If he wasn't still, friends agree. With Jill, I'm just saying, like, yeah, he can leave it out. But if she comes to this country and she sees you talking to Jill or this and that, she might not like it at all. Then you're creating more and more and more problems.
I agree.
Just be straight up with her. And he's getting scared because Magda keeps pushing it. You know, I want to get married. I want to have kids. She wants to jump right in. And they go out to dinner with her friends, and even they're saying that Magda is like this. Like, she jumps into these situations that she went to Germany, and Joe doesn't know anything about it, and she spent a year and a half in Germany, and didn't work out, and she came back. And so he's kind of getting scared a little bit, but at the same time, he wants to be with her. So I don't know what's going to happen with that.
Nor do I.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Are we wrapped up in a beautiful little bow?
Pretty much, yeah. I think we talked about everybody.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how your tower of hated men change as the season progresses. Oh, man,
this was like...
Like, really who's going to... Yeah,
one's worse than the other. I mean, hopefully, I'm glad that we... Probably not going to see Bojo anymore. So that's out of the picture. But we're still going to have to deal with
Brian. We're going to have to deal with Brian. Brian
is going to be out soon, I'm hoping. But we still have to deal with Lauren, Joe, and Adnan.
All right. Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens with the rest of them next week. And we're going to try to get back on a consistent schedule, at least until Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, we'll try.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I hope you'll join us again next week. I messed up again. Boy, that's hard. Saying that one sentence is
on
like...
Bubbles and Banter.
Yes.
Khodafis. Hamatun. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Just a quick note. The opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not reflect those of our employers. Our content is for entertainment purposes only and are not meant to cause harm or encourage harassment. Please do not send hate or harass anyone that we discuss. That is not cute. That is not cool. Thank you for listening, and until next time.